feel there is an angel in me, whom I am constantly shocking. I knew where you were from the moment you walked in. Everyone had heard about the new professor transferring in. No. What I mean is that I knew instantly that you were a Dom. I saw you and I knew. I looked at you and your nature complementary to mine announced itself clearly. I saw it in the way you looked around the room, taking all of your students in one swooping glance. I heard it in the easy confidence of your voice, joking with our notoriously officious vice-chancellor. I watched you make yourself at home in that crowded room, the assurance rolling off of you in waves. It looked like arrogance to so many other people. But you resonated with me, deep in my core. I felt it in the way my mouth went dry. I felt it in the way your eyes seemed to bore into me and how I struggled to meet your gaze. And I never struggled to look anyone in the eyes. I felt it in the way I was rooted to my chair, the blood rushing to my ears, and I sat up straight. I felt some kind of primal, almost cellular connection to you, even in that moment. Every time I glanced up, you were lurking in me. That day, I had no idea what you said once you stood up at the podium, introducing yourself to everyone. I had no idea what anyone said about anything. I was too focused on you, too acutely aware of your every move. I left that first class with quick, hasty steps, rushing away from you. I hid in the library, pretending to do research, talking to fellow students and trying to not obsess about seeing you again. Over the course of that first week, I paid attention. You listened. But you were also authoritative. You didn't like it when any of your students meandered, giving you unnecessary details. You would ask precise questions and wanted concise answers. Some students disliked you for it. Inwardly, I thrilled every time I heard a certain tone in your voice. I found myself listening for that tone, but also making sure I presented answers in a way you'd like. The few times I was on the receiving end of that tone, it didn't bother me. It made me want to crawl over to you and beg for your forgiveness. I found myself leaving your class aroused, always craving your presence. I convinced myself that you leaned forward when I spoke or looked at me longer than the others, or that it wasn't an accident when you brushed past me when leaving once. I still felt it. I believed that you'd made my measure as quickly as I had yours. I believed that in the first few seconds, you had seen into me, my reaction, and that you knew what I craved. I had spent so much of my life trying to reconcile the different parts of me, the opinionated, independent woman who wanted to be used, and abuse. I wanted respect and appreciation for my intelligence. But I also wanted to turn off my mind and focus solely on the pleasure of another man. Luckily for you, you knew how to turn musings into reality. During your second week, you found me sitting in a section of the library reserved only for those who had actual reason to use the related titles. I was sitting at a table with several books laid out around, writing notes. Then you came in the room and sat in the chair next to me. I glanced up at you. You casually started reading through your notes. And then I felt your leg brush against mine, your knee tapping on my thigh. I scooted sideways, thinking that you wanted space to stretch out. You shifted in your chair and I felt your leg again. Your knee tapped and then settled firmly on the outside of my thigh. I glanced over at you, but you were still looking through your papers. I anxiously pulled my book closer to me, sliding my chair back from the table and slightly away from you. You reached a hand out and gripped the armrest of my chair, holding it still. You slid your chair closer and I felt your knee again. It pressed into my leg and your hand held onto my chair, preventing me from moving it. I looked over at you, and then you were looking at me. One eyebrow raised and a half smile on your face. I let my leg relax and press into yours. You nodded and you let go of my chair. Then you tapped the book in front of me, asked me about the subject, instructed me to tell you about it. I did. He took everything I had to talk coherently. The heat from your knee and my thigh traveled up my body straight to my cunt. The heat from your look as I was trying to talk traveled straight into my heart. It melted my brain. Someone came in briefly and asked you something. As you turned to reply, you pressed your leg against mine more firmly. My brain came to a screeching halt and I trotted off without finishing the thought. When you were done, you turned back to me. Your hand brushed mine. I told you I had lost my train of thought. You pulled the note you'd been reading, and I managed to return my attention to my work. But your knee never left my thigh. We sat there for another hour. You didn't ask me anything. We didn't talk, but we never lost contact. When I was finished, I gathered up the books. Breaking that contact with you felt wrong. I didn't move my leg. I just sat there, helpless, staring at the pile in front of me. "Looks like you're done," you said. "I guess it's time for you to go." You slid away from me, and I bit my lips to hold in the no I almost blurted out. I made myself stand up and pick up the books. After I put them away, I went back to the table to pick up my notebook. As soon as you heard me, you picked it up and handed it to me. "Have a good weekend," you said. "I'll see you Monday." "You too, Professor." When I got back to my room, I flipped the notebook open to check my notes. You had put your own over it. It read, "I will see you Monday." I knew I was gone then. All weekend long, I wandered and fantasized. When Monday morning arrived, I woke up an hour before my alarm and lay in bed with my head spinning. As I was getting dressed, I paid a lot of attention to looking as polished as possible. I selected sensual, lacy underwear rather than comfortable. A red, mid-length dress which fell softly on my body to cling to the curves just enough to hint at them. I got to class early, feeling like I had had too much coffee. When you came in, you didn't so much glance at me. I assured myself I hadn't misunderstood you, but all I was dying to ask was, "You said you wanted to see me, Professor. Is now a good time?" You made me wait all day. You made me wait until the very last minute, until I should have been leaving. And only then did I receive an email from you. "Come up to my office in 30 minutes. No 30 minutes have ever felt as long and arduous as a half hour. I walked to the elevator, never more aware of the people around me chattering in the corridors. I found your office and knocked on the door. I heard your chair sliding and a quick footstep. I took a step back from the door as you opened it. Your eyes glittered and you smiled brightly. You swung the door wide, but didn't move back, holding your place in the doorway and looking me up and down. You held onto the door with one hand and reached out with your other. As I stepped forward, you slipped your hand along the side of my neck and wrapped your fingers at the back. Your thumb brushed my cheek and your grip at the base of my skull was firm. You guided me into your office, just a step or two, and to the side of the door jamb. You shut the door and I had the lock engage. My back was to the wall and you stood just less than arm's length. My eyes were glued to yours. My whole body felt numb. My hands dropped to my sides, and though my heart raced, my breathing was even and slow. You moved slowly and gently, positioning me so that my ass touched the wall slightly. You brought your other hand up, tracing me softly down my shoulder and upper arm, then back up. You brushed your fingertips over my cheek, and I closed my eyes without thinking. When I opened them, you had moved close enough that your breath flowed over my face like a warm wind. You declared that you were going to kiss me. "Yes, sir," seemed like the only appropriate option. You smiled even more broadly. Your thumb ran on my cheek and you said, "Yes, I knew you would be a perfect choice." I stood still, rooted in that spot, but also somehow floating above it. I tilted my head back just slightly and you leaned down. The touch of your lips and mine was wonderful. You are slow and gentle, but also firm and insistent. I match your movements with my own mouth and let you slip your tongue past my lips. I tasted you. Your saliva. I didn't try to reach for you. I tap your lips with my tongue, and I leaned up into your kiss, but other than that, I molded myself into you, adjusting my body to what it seemed like you wanted. The kiss felt endless. My eyes closed, and time slowed down, until my heartbeat matched your motions. I distantly felt you brushing your free hand along my side, up my arm, grazing the very tip of my breast. I put my hands behind my back and slid my feet apart. You pressed your body against mine and pressed me into the wall. And still, you kept kissing. I was swept up in it. My emotions rolling, happiness, desire, surprise, all flooding through me. I'd never been kissed like that before. I'd never been kissed by a man who acted like that kiss was an end unto itself, rather than just a prelude to something else. Finally, you moved away. I followed you, pulling off the wall and prolonging the contact as much as I could. When you kept moving, I let you go with a sigh. When I opened my eyes, you were looking at me with an unreadable expression. But there was hunger there. You brushed your thumb on my cheek again, and your fingers curled in the hair at the nape of my neck. You tightened your grip on me, re-establishing that I knew you were there. Your free hand brushed down, across from one hip to the other. "Now you will undress for me," you said. But you said it so simply, as though it was so clearly a foregone conclusion that I didn't even think about it. I reached behind my back to unzip my dress slowly. I let it fall to my feet with a soft sound. My fingers deftly unclasped the bra and let it fall along in my dress. You held me up straight even when I wanted to bend down to slide my underwear off. I finally managed to push it down my thighs to my knees and lifted one leg through, and your grip remained still firm on my neck. You finally let go and stepped back, moving to the chair in front of your desk, and you leaned against it. I felt your eyes drinking in the sight of me as I stood there, exposed. Hands once again clasped behind my back. You pointed to the floor in front of you. I slipped down to the floor quicker than I thought I would be able to, kneeling with my knees spread wide. I clasped my hands behind my back and straightened my spine so that you would see all of me. I saw you relax and sit yourself in the chair. You let your legs fall open. You put one foot on my knee and pressed gently. I spread myself wider for you. You kept up the pressure, and I moved my knees as wide as I possibly could. "Such a perfect choice," you said. Looked at my face, and I looked back at you, at your kind and knowing eyes. I didn't feel ashamed of what I wanted, what I was in that moment. You stared at me, your eyes never averting. I tried to hold your gaze for a while, but soon enough I couldn't last any longer. You asked me what I wanted. I like letting go. I want to be owned. I want you to make me yours, into whatever you want. Being compelled or obligated to do whatever you want just because you want it. You smiled, grazing my cunt softly with the tip of your shoe, and then you put it back. You told me to come closer, the volume of your voice barely above a whisper, but the command was loud enough. So I scooted closer, maintaining my wide stance and keeping my hands behind my back. I watched you slide your zipper down. I looked up, grinning at you as you pulled your cock out from your fly. I shuffled closer until I felt the tip of your boot breast against me. You cupped my cheek with one hand and rubbed your thumb along my jaw. I pressed my face into your hand and looked up. I licked my lips in anticipation. I tried to look down at your cock, feeling it harden, but your hand clutched on my neck and I stopped moving. I stayed there, transfixed by your cock. No other cock had ever seemed as important to me as yours had in that moment. When I was still, your thumb rubbed over my cheek again. I would learn what you liked. I would do what you wanted. In that space, I would obey you. Out there was a different matter, and we would follow those rules. In there, however, we only followed yours. You told me, finally, to take you in my mouth. I did, eagerly. My soft lips parted as I opened wide and I stuck out my tongue. I lavished your cock with attention. I sucked and swallowed and rubbed my tongue on your underside, and I kept slipping you in until my lips were at the base and touching the fabric of your fly, until I was full of your cock. Your hand never left my head, and when I had you as far into my face as I could get, your fingers tapped gently on the side of my neck. You gave me instructions, gentle corrections, told me to open wider. Initially, despite the hunger in your eyes, I saw you hold back, retracting from the animalistic instinct within you to buck your hips until I got used to your shaft between my lips. And yet increasingly, you let go as well. I let you fuck my mouth just how you wanted. You pulled me down onto you. In alternating speeds, you pulled me down. And I gagged, and you let me off long enough to collect myself. Then you did it again. My eyes never for a moment left yours. I was mesmerized by the attack of sensations. The way your cock felt inside me, your unwavering hold on me, reminded me that at all times you were in control of me, that you owned me. Every single fucking part of me. My cunt was dripping, and I found myself pumping my hips in time with my mouth. The tip of your boat was better than any toy I'd ever tried against my clit. I fucked myself on you while you fucked my mouth. It was like a great circle of fire and pleasure, and I lost myself in it. I lost myself in the feel of your jutting cock invading my mouth. I lost myself in that freezing of pain as I rubbed the most tender and exposed nerves I have on the hard end of your boot. I felt dirty and animalistic and totally free. But I made one major mistake. At some point, I forgot about you, even though your cock was deep in my throat and your hips pumped as much as I moved up and down your length. For a moment, all I registered was a feeling in my pussy and a need in my clit. A single thought had taken over me, conquered me as I sucked you on my knees like a needy, desperate slut. Stripped from all other identity. The only bunny thought I had was that I was your slut. Yours. And yours alone. And I loved it. I felt almost electrocuted from the realization. Being reduced to nothing but a fucktoy to be used for your pleasure alone was exactly what I needed. What completed me. I ran myself down onto you mindlessly, moving faster and faster and smaller strokes until an orgasm bloomed and exploded out of me. I cried out, choking on your cock, even as my body shook and shuddered. I jacked up and let your cock fall out of me. I gasped and groaned and tucked my chin to my chest as the climax rolled through me. You didn't say anything, but your hand on my neck became a vice. I twisted in your grip and tried to look at you, but you grabbed your cock and shoved yourself back into my mouth. I opened my lips and teeth wide, and you fucked my face in earnest. You held on to me with both hands, pulling my head down into your lap, and then shoving your hips up and up until my nose was smashed against your pelvis. This time, when I gagged, you didn't let off. You spat a single reminder to breathe, pulled out a fraction of an inch so I could, and then slammed yourself back in. Even in that moment, I wasn't afraid. I left my hands behind my back. I didn't try to get away from you. I wanted you to find your pleasure however you wanted. I wanted you to use me, to punish me, as you saw fit. When you realized I wasn't walking, you became less frantic. You slowed your pace. You didn't pull me down as far or as hard as you had. I managed to look up at you, though my eyes were filled with tears. You stared down at me with an iron look, and I felt a magnetic attraction once again. You pumped hard into me a few more times, my lips tightening around your cock as you throbbed inside my mouth. And then you pulled halfway out and wrapped it inside me. Your cum was thick and hot. You filled my mouth, and I clamped my lips around your shaft to keep from spilling any. Your cock twitched and jerked, and with its spasm, another spurt shot into me. You pulled me off of you slowly. "Show me," you said. I opened my mouth and showed you how full it was. I waited for instructions. Swallow. And I did. I swallowed it down and relished the taste. Relished every last drop of you running down my throat. You laid my head on your knee and stroked my cheek and my chair. When we both caught our breath, you rearranged yourself and closed your trousers. I remained with my head on your knee, feeling satisfied but yearning for more. I had done well, for the most part. Your hand continued to stroke my hair, and your feet were still trapped between my thighs. You sighed, and I wanted to look up at you, but your hand and my head wouldn't be disturbed. I don't know how long I stayed like that. After a while, I registered it was dark outside. You held me up from knees, which were partially numb from kneeling, and you helped me get dressed. You gazed at me, and that felt more intense and more intimate than the sex we just had. After a moment, it seemed like an hour, you told me that I should go home. "Yes, sir." I wasn't disappointed, but I already craved more of you. I was hoping you would kiss me again, but you didn't. You only looked me over. "Tomorrow, same time, here," you said. "Yes, sir." You stood suddenly toward your desk. In fact, let's plan ahead. Every day this week, you present yourself here at 6 p.m. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. That was my first lesson. One of many.